Well, hello everyone and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. I hope you all are doing well, and we have a very special treat for you this week. My good friend and partner in crime here at Fairview Baptist, Dan Fisher, is actually on the road again. He's out doing the Black Robe Regiment in one of the states back towards the Atlantic Ocean. I don't know where he goes. Don't really care if he comes back. No, I'm just kidding. But we've got a special treat this week. You know, in our Liberty Pastors Conferences, we teach on biblical worldview. We also teach these guys biblical viewpoints of current cultural issues. And of course, one of the biggest issues that we have faced over the last 2 years that not only threatens our liberty, but threatens our lives, quite frankly, has been this, we'll call it Skinny Beavis. We'll just call it that because it's illegal to use the name COVID-19 when you're doing anything on YouTube. In fact, right now we're in the middle of a 2-week ban on YouTube, so you're having to follow this podcast through some other avenue. But Dr. Lee Merritt has become a very good friend. We've had her in our church on several occasions. We've done town halls with her, Q&As with her. She's done a variety of presentations, and she's been with us on several of our Liberty Pastors training camps. Well, this that you're about to see is what she presented when we were in Little Rock just a week ago. This is the latest up-to-date information on the COVID-19 and the vax, or the supposed vax, whatever is in this injection. And also the VAERS data and some of the reports of the problems that seem to be associated with those that take one or two or three of these shots. So this is Dr. Lee Merritt, one of the heroic America's frontline doctors. So enjoy every minute of this presentation, and we'll see you next week for Riding the Storm Out.
Thank you very much. I'm always honored to come down and speak at the Liberty Pastors. And as the two previous speakers said, nothing here happens by accident. So I'm going to talk about, so this, I asked Dr. Mahdi if I could show that. You know, when this really is, when you talk about a religious or a spiritual war, you know, I've never heard so many doctors getting together and then bringing up the book of Revelation that I have since this thing started. This thing actually crawled over to the side of the cover slip out of the Moderna vaccine and looked at her, she said. She felt like it was seeing her. Now, I'm going to talk about some kind of dark things here. I'm sorry about this microphone. I can never get these things to work. There's some tough things to understand about what's going on with this. But I'm reminded of this, that it's not just, everybody remembers, therefore put on the full armor of God, those of us who aren't preachers and memorize all these things. But, you know, I am comforted to think that after we've done everything in the day of evil, after we've tried to do our best, that you've done everything, you will stand, you know. And again, I understand that doesn't mean all of us, but I think it's comforting to me to know that we're going to go on after this. This isn't the end. Now, I keep hearing, Ukraine and Russia, that's going to drag us into World War III. But I've got news for you. We're already in World War III. You know, they don't name wars until after the fact. We didn't call it World War I until after World War II, right? So I think this is my vote for the new name of this war. It's going to be the Great DNA War Against Humanity. That's really what it is and what I'm going to talk about today. And to back up, you can find information on my website, themedicalrebel.com. I talk about, you know, what you can do to help protect yourself. And if you've taken the vaccine, our thoughts that keep changing. I also have, I'm on Telegram. And I just got on last night. I just got on Trump Social, Truth Social. So it's going to be also, I'm also Freedom Doc there. Now, if you're in a war, one of the things, probably the biggest thing to survive a war and to do the right thing is situational awareness. You know, this is Sarajevo, and if you remember, Sarajevo was this beautiful world-class city, and if you didn't know, if you hadn't been paying attention to what was going on, you'd have walked out of your house one morning thinking you were going to go get a cappuccino and get killed by a stray round. That's what we don't want to have happen, and that's kind of what we had happen when people ran out of their door and got a vaccine. They hadn't really been paying attention. Now, those of us like Simone Gold and me and a lot of other doctors, we're called conspiracy theorists, but I'm going to tell you, we're conspiracy realists, because the real conspiracy is this has anything to do with your health and welfare. They're out to kill you and your children. They're out to enslave us. This is transhumanism, everything that Alex and Pastor Broden talked about. Now, this is the narrative that came to us in 2020, that after living with us in commensal bliss for eons, this virus leaped out of bat soup, not even just bats, out of bat soup, and was perfectly adapted to damage humans. Someone with college biology background should question that narrative. And that this was made possible because of this filthy meat market in Wuhan, China. And that meat market was in a nation of 4 million square miles, this meat market was 8 miles from the only level 4 bioweapons lab doing virology research, but that had nothing to do with it. And then, of course, that we just, you know, the public health experts had to leap into action and using the very best science to do things like this. I mean, I was in Las Vegas when I gave a talk, and I saw these people. This is when this was going on. You know, they were okay. We had to have our masks up in between sips of a drink, but they could be out smoking and have their mask down like this so they could play the one-armed bandit. I mean, it's just, this is people control. It is not contagion control. Now, this is what we're going to talk a lot about today. They claim that this spike protein, this particular part of the coronavirus, is so deadly that 3 or 4 of these spike proteins getting into your nose can make you sick or kill you. So you better take to your basement, wear 10 masks, do everything that Lord Fauci says. But don't worry, we've got a vaccine coming out, and this vaccine will produce literally trillions of the very same spike protein, but we're sure it's 95% safe and effective. Right? Does that make any sense? Now, I'm going to tell you at this point, so we've been going through this now. I've been watching this since mid-December of 2019. So what we're 3 years down practically. So what anybody that tells you this is an accidental release or a natural pathogen, they're lying to you or they're completely clueless or brain dead. You know, this is when I hear people still saying that, you know what side they're on. This is the disinformation campaign. We have so much evidence now that this is a man-made bioweapon. Now, by definition, a bioweapon is something that is taken from nature, manipulated in a lab, and makes you more sick or kills you worse than nature would have, right? So, you know, there are a lot of reasons we know this. This is a Bayesian analysis that was done. It's a 108-page document of all the different little facts that make us realize that it's not natural. Okay, one of them is, There's no animal in the meat market that tested positive. People don't say that very loudly. It wasn't in the bat soup. It wasn't in bats. They couldn't find an animal. And in the lab, they couldn't reinfect bat cells. Now, that's a big tell right there. You should be able to reinfect the thing that theoretically gave it to you. And there's some other technical stuff there. They tried to then blame it on snakes, and they were hibernating, and then the pangolin. That's the pangolin. When I saw that, I knew that they were lying to us. That thing is too ugly to live. I just said that can't be it. But I'm sorry, it's one of God's creatures, but it is kind of ugly. Now, this is when I knew absolutely this was a bioweapon. And this was on February 1st, 2020, I knew this. And I actually knew it before I read the paper. How did I know that? Well, because I've never seen in the whole 45 years I've been in medicine and longer I've been in science, this happened to a professional paper. This Prashant Pradhan used to be the chief, and maybe he still is, the chief geneticist in Europe of IBM. So he's not a lightweight. He puts this, he and his colleagues publish this paper, and the next day he's forced to retract it. He said, wait a minute, no, the data is open source, why am I doing this? No, you have to retract it. And then Zero Hedge, which isn't even a medical or scientific journal, they got deplatformed simply by reporting on it. Now that is unusual. And I said, whoa, these guys are saying something that nobody wants to get out. This is the equivalent of the military pilot dictum that when you're catching big flak, you're over a big target. This was a huge target. And what is it they said? What they said was, okay, we've looked at the spike protein, this little part of the coronavirus, and it's been uploaded to the gene bank from all these different patients. So we got a lot of samples. And surprisingly, in every one of these spike proteins, there are 4 inserts. And those 4 inserts are unchanged from specimen to specimen. And by the way, that makes a lie of variants. Variants are, that's another complete lie. But these 4 inserts are there, and they don't exist in nature. They don't exist in any other coronavirus. They didn't exist in SARS or MERS, only in this. And then somebody else said we can see actually the PN shuttle gene where these were, that's a sign of the Wuhan lab where these were put in. But even without that, where did these come from? Then they ran the sequences of these 4 inserts through BLAST, which is a computer program, to figure out where genetic sequences come from. They came from the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, that we associate with AIDS. Now you're hearing suddenly, VADES, they've come up with these new terms, well, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. This is one of the reasons we kept saying, guys, don't take this, don't take this, don't take this. It's man-made. It's a man-made pathogen. Okay, now this will look familiar to the pastors from Oklahoma, but anyway, that's one of the Oklahoma senators, and he bagged this rattlesnake on his ranch, and I said, oh, can I use that picture? Because that is really a great metaphor for SARS-CoV-2. They want you to believe that SARS-CoV-2 is this huge, huge virus. Now, there's a lot of controversy right now about whether viruses even exist that we can't get into today, but they claim it's a huge, long virus, 30,000 base pairs that... But the thing of it is, they admit, the only thing that you need of that to become sick with what we think of the classic symptoms of this new COVID thing is just the 181 base pairs of the S1 subunit. It's like the equivalent of one fang of that snake, okay? So it's a very small portion of what they're telling us is a naturally occurring virus. And then they tell us that they've sequenced it, got it, we know it, here's the sequence. Let me tell you, and this is important later, I'm gonna mention this again later, but this is the genetic sequence that they post up on the gene bank, but which, you know, can vary a little bit. But notice what it says. It's called the in silico genome. The actual truth is, you think that they took this stuff out of a patient and somehow put it through a ticker tape-like thing and it just read off the gene sequence. It just doesn't work that way. This is a scam that we've been allowing virologists to get away with for decades, and now it's coming down, I think. Because what they really do is they take a whole bunch of these little primer things, like the PCR test, little tiny primers. They took some lung goo out of a guy. They dipped it with these little primers. They run it through a bunch of machines, and each of these, it spits out, they literally got 56 million pieces of DNA, or RNA rather, that's about, 150 base pairs long. Now, this is like a jigsaw puzzle, okay? They know they were looking for a 30,000 base pair kind of rough size virus, because they kind of knew ahead what they wanted to find. But they have to kind of come to an idea. So they don't, this is, picture a jigsaw puzzle if you've ever done that, that now you need 30,000 pieces to put it together. And you've got kind of the outline, but somebody dumps 57 million pieces in there. And you have to choose which ones to keep. And you don't have a box picture to look at. Because there's no gold standard. Think about that. This is scientific nonsense. And those of us who are like, I'm an orthopedic spine surgeon, what do I know about this? We weren't looking. We weren't paying attention. When the virologist said they could do this, we believed them. And we're finding out it's one of the so many lies in here. And that's why it's called an in silico genome. It only exists in a computer algorithm. And it's also called a consensus genome. Consensus. So they vote on the holes in it. So when they tell you there are variants, I can make a variant in my sleep just by deciding to change something. It's just nonsense. Oops. Did I do something that now I can't change this thing? I can't. Help is on the way. I don't know if I pushed something wrong. I got waving around. That's the right one, hopefully. Yeah, so, and this is Stefan Lanka, who's a German, he used to be a virologist, PhD, he says, don't call me that now, call me a biologist. And he says the basic insight is that these manipulations, that's what they call it when they try and marry up all these pieces to make a puzzle, called alignments, simply do not correspond to any complete or known genetic material of a virus. There is no there. And among the other, that's the first big lie, okay, that they never isolated any kind of virus. The second one is the death count. Now, this was in 2020, the great pandemic year, right? Actually, these are UN data numbers. 7.612 deaths per thousand in 2020. That is less than the death per thousand per capita, between the years of 1950 and 2015. Okay? So where's the pandemic? This is a huge lie. Now, this is the graph they showed us of death, and this is the second part. So the first part of this war was the pathogen, okay, the producing and releasing the pathogen. Second part is the psychologic operation that got everybody to be afraid, and this is how they did it. Here's this red curve. That's the death curve, and it should have just come up and gone down. But when it started going down, a couple things happened. Probably that jagged kind of sloppy end of the curve, because we have a death curve like that every year for the flu, or whatever. We should call it the winter death season. Everybody, we just get sick in the winter and die, and a certain number of people. It's a bell-shaped curve. But this time we have that blue line that goes up and makes everybody afraid because they started counting not sick people or dead people, but cases. Now, they redefined the term of case. Since time immemorial, a case was a sick person. Anybody that's had a TB test that's negative or positive, if you have a TB test just because it's positive, they don't call you a case of tuberculosis, right? This is a neologism. This is classic Newspeak Orwellian style to make everybody afraid. It was specifically for that purpose. So then the cases went up, and oh my gosh, you know, you're isolated in your home, you're being forced to listen to the monopoly of the talking media that's controlled by the intelligence agencies, and they're constantly bombarding you with death and fear, and this is how they did it. Now, the real question is, how did we get all those positive cases? Now we know there were false tests. And this, I don't have time to go into the details, but it's really uglier about the scam about these tests. It's really, really ugly. It's completely, they knew what they were doing, and they purposely falsified these tests from the beginning to the end. But I pulled out the Thermo Fisher instructions. Now let's just keep this in mind. I'm going to get to how you explain to your friends you're not a conspiracy theorist. Okay? So, because this proves it one way or another. All these lab people all around the world, these are highly trained individuals. They know how to set up a test. They know how to train their staff. They know how not to get a 90% false positive result, right? They'd be fired from any hospital. But in 2020, 2021, that's what they got. Now, how did they do that? Here's the Thermo Fisher instructions, and it tells you very clearly, you only cycle these tests 20 to 30 times. If you want to know actually and no false positives. Now, if you can accept a few false positives, you can go up to 35, but no more. The average cycle time in 2020, or cycle amplification number in 2020 was 45 worldwide. So it was way over at the top of this. In other words, they were producing all these false positive tests. It was so wrong. It was like the broken clock that gets the time right twice a day. And yet they're still doing these tests. This has been officially withdrawn by the FDA, level one withdrawal, and they're still doing the tests. You've got to ask yourself. But here's the real question you have to ask. Okay? So here you have these lab managers all over the world doing this wrong. Now, they're not doing it wrong randomly. None of them accidentally undercycled the test, right? They all overcycled the test. And then on the magic day of January 21st, 2021, they all had a beautiful epiphany, and they started cycling down, if you remember 2021. Now, what does that mean? There's two worldviews. The first worldview is there's a group psychosis of lab managers. They all had some brain hissy fit that they were in sync with each other, and they all did it wrong, and they overcycled the test. And by the way, that's not the only reason these things are false positive. They're highly subject to contamination. They were designed to be lab tests used under a hood and with micropipettes and people that knew how to do the test. And we were out there in parking lots swabbing people's noses. So that's kind of silly. But the cycle amplification thing, you got to believe either in the group psychosis of lab managers or that somebody told them to overcycle the test. Now, if somebody told them to do it, where did they tell them? Was it the CEO of the hospital? Couldn't have been, because it was all over all the hospitals. It was all over the states. It was all over the world. Now we don't call it a conspiracy if we all get together to plan an ice cream party for our kids, right? A conspiracy, by definition, is two or more people that get together to then harm a third party. That's what we have here, and it's international, because the only reason to do this was to harm the whole world, make them afraid. That's what this was for. And we have suspects all over the place that did that. But here's the story. So here's the way the war went. Stage one, we produced this pathogen. Now, I got to tell you, this idea that one of the other things you might not realize, that's an unproven concept. Do you know that they've never proven that flu, that influenza, actually is a disease that transmits from person to person? In fact, they haven't proven that for any disease. This idea that I breathe out these little animalcules that somehow float around and make you sick is a great anti-human agenda. It wants to make you afraid of me, even though I'm just standing here, right? It's not true. And there's no evidence for that. So I don't think this was an airborne virus. Now, I got to admit, most people are not saying this. I'm in the minority. But let me explain why, and I think this fits the evidence. The epidemiologists, when this first came out, they started saying, oh, we've never seen anything so transmissible. It's horrible. An R value so high, it's worse than smallpox. And it gets through masks. It gets through goggles. What's going on here? Well, and then the other fact is, with all that and with all the people dropping over in Wuhan and Lombardy and New York City, it kind of fizzled out after that. It went to those three big urban areas and kind of fizzled out. Didn't rip through Paris, didn't rip through Arkansas, Little Rock, didn't rip through Omaha, Nebraska. You know, it kind of fizzled out. It was there, but it wasn't like they. So what? That's not the sign of an airborne virus. An airborne virus that toxic should have ripped through the world. So this is a contact pathogen, okay? They made this thing so you, and I'll prove this to you later, that you can be, you pick it up by touch, it gets in your mouth, it makes you sick or kills you. That's the definition. And it's just the spike protein. You don't need all that other 30,000 base pair. So that got spread around. We actually have a video. In fact, I think it's Epic Times. I keep meaning to ask Alex if you can help me find it. Somebody's got this because I saw it and then it kind of disappeared. But it's a woman in Wuhan going to the computer store and she's just opening computers, touching the keyboard, shutting them. Opening, touching, shutting. Opening, you know, like she's spreading something on there. That's the kind of thing you would expect. And it's just a security camera video. Second phase, the psychological operation that we talked about. Now, this got everybody afraid. And what was the whole point? The whole point was the third phase. And the third phase was to have everybody run out and take a pseudo-vaccine. It's not really a vaccine. I'll tell you what it is later. But and they didn't know anything about it. I mean, people ran out and got this. And I understand if some of you did. One of my very, very good friends, super smart guy, he and his wife, they took it because, and I asked him later, I said, Gene, I just got to ask you, why did you guys roll over and do this? And he said, you know, they made us afraid that we would harm our great-grandson. That's what happened. It's the most evil thing in medicine I've ever seen. Now, here's the point, though. Now that we all agree that the spike protein is a man-made pathogen, it's a bioweapon. Even mainstream media is coming around to that. They've got the money from Fauci and all that. They finally, 2 years later, are coming around to it. If that's a man-made bioweapon, then so is the vaccine. That's what you have to understand. The vaccine was the big bioweapon. The other one was just the starting game. Okay, and this is why we know it's the same thing. Here's the, when they sent out the, if you want to be stealth, the beautiful thing is do an emergency use authorization of a drug, because you don't have to tell what's in it. You can have 100 things in it. You only have to tell what's in the, for what you're claiming efficacy. So they only really had to tell us one thing for sure. The vaccine contains a nucleoside modified messenger RNA. In other words, it's not real RNA. They did tell us this is artificial genetic material. Encoding the viral spike protein S of SARS-CoV-2. That's what they told us. So if the four HIV inserts were in the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein we got in the gene bank, that's what's in here. And in fact, I want you to think about this. This is what happened, because we're speaking of this as a war. They, in January of 2020, the Chinese claimed they had isolated the virus. They claimed it from one patient that they had COVID. They took some stuff from their lung. They dipsticked it. They gene sequenced it. They put it up on the gene bank. Within hours, Moderna and Pfizer and Inovio and all these places, they downloaded it and claimed they had a vaccine already in the works. One patient from the Chinese, a world away, not confirmed by anybody. We made the vaccine, and we just gave it to our military. Does anybody see the strategic problem here? Now, here's the upshot, and I might have to come out here a little bit just to see. So this is VAERS. The Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System was put into place exactly for this, to catch early warning. It's to be a tripwire. It's an early warning system, and yet we're not. You know, there's nothing that can stop this except us, okay? They don't care. They're doing this purposely. So it turns out in 31 years between when it was set up in 1990 to 2021, all vaccines put together, there were 3,885 deaths reported to VAERS. Now we have in about 14 months, thank you, 11,313. That was as of yesterday. I upgraded this. Serious events. Again, 31 years, all vaccines, it was 55,000. Just in 14 months, we have 74,000. If that doesn't stop this, nothing will. Okay? Nothing will. And I mean, I can tell you, brain bleeds are huge with this. Brain bleeds are huge. Guillain-Barré neurologic data damage. I'm a spine surgeon. I studied neurology at the Queen Square Institute of Neurology in London. I never saw a case of Guillain-Barré until now. And I've never had anybody in my life close to me or that really very close at all that, or even in kind of second, third degrees of separation that died from a vaccine, and I now have four. So I don't know how you guys are doing, but it's not good. And myocarditis, that's missing a zero. That should be 10,800 cases in 14 months, where we had 317 cases in 31 years. And this is our young men primarily. Now, this is from, I have a whistleblower from the military, and so does Tom Rantz. So this is a combination. This is the DMED database in the military. Keep in mind, in 2020, the year of COVID, we only lost 20 people in all the military services put together to COVID. And yet, we have already, just the myocarditis alone, we've killed over 20 times that in the military. So, here we have, they have in the database, if I go in for a headache one day to a doctor in the military, that's considered, and I have a headache, that's considered a count. If I have a headache and toe fungus, that's two counts. So counts mean how many diagnoses are generated per year. In the year 2020, there were 2 million counts generated. In 2021, the year of the vaccine, there were 22 million counts generated, 10 times more. Cancer's up in the military. Now, these are the healthiest young people among us. These are generally a younger population, and they're healthy. Cancer's up 300%. Myocarditis up 300 to 400%. Neurologic damage up 1,000%. Neurologic is a big one. Okay, and this was the targets. They didn't push this vaccine everywhere. When I told you that we vaccinated our military, and I hope it isn't 70% or 95%, but we don't know. And why don't we know completely? Because they've made a decision to hold the religious exemptions, local commands, because if they funneled them all up to D.C., somebody could add them up and realize, oh, only 50% of the military is vaccinated, but they don't want that number to be known. So I think it's lower than what they're telling us. They're telling us 95% of the military, at least the Army, the Air Force, and the Navy. Now, the good news is what we don't hear about are Space Force, the Special Operating Group, and the Marines. So I think they're off better. But nonetheless, this wasn't around the world because the Russian military didn't give it to their people. The Chinese military didn't give it to their people. Let's think about this, okay? Nobody in biomedical security thought that this could be a bioweapon. Are we dead? I texted General McInerney one day and I said, has our entire general staff in the military been captured? And he said, quite probably. So anyway, we've not only targeted the military, we've targeted our firefighters. I'm hearing stuff out of New York that isn't good. The police force, our surgeons, our doctors of all sorts, our nurses, all of the people that we expect to help us in a crisis have been targeted, and it's mostly Western world. Okay, so here we are, and now we're at stage four. And I'm just, and this is the kind of the depressing moment here, because I'm just going to tell you, stage four, you might think that, and I love the Ottawa truckers, I followed them just with bated breath, but I wanted to think, hey, we did it, some mandates are going away, right? But the problem is the mandates are probably going away because they don't care anymore. They've done their damage. You know, nobody that's not vaccinated now is going to run out and get a vaccine. The people that are vaccinated, they're just debating between the fourth and fifth booster. Or they're having regret and want to get this undone. But nobody's changing sides. So now, the Uber lords or whoever's running this, we can discuss, they're just sitting back waiting for the outcome. And the outcome is what we're watching, this slow roll. This is like an assassin's poison that just is a slow one so he can get away before it happens. It was a little quicker, I think, than they expected. So all of us who thought the Second Amendment was really a huge deal, and it is, but you also have to understand there are other weapons of war. So if somebody had come to you and said, all the United States, hey, here's what's going to happen in every state. If you don't give up your Second Amendment rights and turn in your weapons, you can't work. You won't be able to travel or go to a sporting event. You'll have to, you have to wear a mask. You'll have to get tested. What would you think? You'd think somebody's coming after us, right? But the very same thing happened when they said, you have to get this injection or you have to do all those things. So the injection was an act of war and we didn't understand it. Okay? It's the enemy snuck under our wire and took out all of our first responders, or at least have damaged them, without us firing a shot. That is where we are. And so now, when I see doctors on podcasts, and this is not really meant as a criticism of them, I'm happy for anybody that speaks out. But if we're still spinning our wheels talking about, ivermectin doses and what's in the thing, and don't get me wrong, ivermectin is important, But it's kind of like not just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. This is kind of like rowing away from the Titanic and looking back and discussing how to rearrange the deck chairs. What we need to be doing is going forward. We need to be looking at the real data of what's happening to our population. So let's start with what we know. Here is this Indiana CEO of an actuary in a life insurance company. Now, actuaries are the only place other than all-cause mortality is the one number you can trust. You can't trust the number of heart disease or COVID deaths or something, because I can manipulate diagnoses based on incentive, right? But what I cannot, the all-cause mortality is, are you dead or are you alive? And if you're dead, you have a death certificate. Now, sometimes they hide that, too. In the state of Nebraska, I couldn't find it online. I had to call the lady that counted the death certificates because they were hiding it. If you're hooked up to the CDC, they're hiding the numbers, right? But at least they're right when you finally get to somebody. So this guy said in Indiana in 2021, in their insurance company, all-cause mortality was up 42%. That has never been seen in the history of insurance. Okay, going way back. In fact, they think of a bump as a 0.1% bump for financial reasons. They think of a tsunami catastrophe for insurance as a 10% bump that they only expect to see every 200 years. They've seen a 42% increase. Okay, and don't tell me it's COVID or it's something. It's the only thing we changed is we just vaccinated everybody with these things. And same, it's coming out of which one is this one? This is the ONS. That's England. ONS data is also 47%. Germany is now reporting 25%. Interestingly, I couldn't get a hold of Israel because they're hiding it. But that would have been a great one because the Israelis were not doing well at first and now they're doing even less well. But I did find this lady's video. She said, "We are guinea pigs. We're captured by our own government. We need someone to save us." You know, and she said, "You can't work, can't shop, can't go to Mount Malls. Tomorrow it will be your country." That's what she's saying. I think she may be right. Now, what has happened to us is not this. It is not medical mistakes. It's not accidental release of a pathogen. It's not natural disease. And it's not just a ploy to make money. These guys running this show don't really care if Pfizer goes down. They're so far above that, the big money. But look at what's happening is Pfizer and Moderna investors run for the exits, and actually the CEO of Moderna cashed in all his chips and took off. You know, Moderna never produced anything except this. It's like a will-o'-the-wisp. It kind of came to be just for this reason. It came and did its thing, and now it's going away. You watch. Now, if you want to understand who's doing this, I recommend reading this book, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. It was not meant as a book. And I talked to G. Edward Griffin, confirms this. This was found in it, because he knows a guy that found it, in a Xerox machine in a recycle bin at a federal recycling place. But the guy read it and realized the gem he had. It was a codification of a meeting that occurred by what I call the Uberlords, who know it was in 1954. And at that time, they were talking about barcodes, marrying up barcodes with your Visa, your credit card data, and get metadata. I mean, who knew about barcodes in 1954? I mean, I can remember in 69 working in a grocery store, pushing one key, you know, and adding the tax in my head. So what they say, though, is these silent weapons, it's not directed energy weapons they're talking about. They're talking about social control weapons. And they're saying the public won't be able to comprehend the weapon. You know, this is a very highly technical thing, a genetic pathogen, right? So it's really, they can tell you a lot of stuff. And how many people, I mean, it took me a year to uncode it, and I still don't completely understand it, all this genetic manipulation of virus existence, okay? So it's hard. The public cannot comprehend the weapon. They cannot believe they're being attacked. They sense something is wrong, but they're not technically able to respond, and they don't know how to associate for defense, which is where you guys come in for sure. I mean, that's not the only reason. But, you know, the good news about the one group that's standing stronger than everybody else, in my opinion, are the Christian churches, because they have a group they trust to associate for defense. You don't have to understand everything if you know that that's the group to associate with. So that's a big, big plus. Now, this is the two options they come out at the end of the book. Because at the book, these guys are talking about the fact there are too many of us and we're too greedy. We're ruining the world. And the war, to depopulate people with war, it's kind of messy on the environment. So they talk about genocide and benevolent slavery. but they want to do it through other means than war. And this is the other book I recommend. This is Warfare Beyond Rules, or Unrestricted Warfare, by two colonels in the PLA Army. And they talk about multi-level, unrestricted stealth warfare. See if this sounds familiar. They say, you can't take out a superpower going one-on-one using standard weapons because they'll always outspend you. You need to have a layered approach. You know, bioweapons, chemical weapons. You throw the Geneva Convention out using all these different psychological weapons, cybersecurity weapons, electoral security weapons. Think about it. All the things. Economic warfare. We are in a world right now where one rich guy can take down the economy of a nation. So he can do. They can do a lot of stuff. And this is what they talk about, how to run it. And if you think it's just the Chinese, forget it. I got a table to drop out and just say one thing. One of my favorite things that happened to me recently, I was buying chicken food at a hardware store, and I left my phone in the car, and I came back and I saw it, and I picked it up, and it was a number in White Plains, New York, and I said, I don't know anybody in White Plains, and usually I ignore those, but I decided I'd call that number, and I said, Dr. Merritt, and this gravelly voice that you can't misunderstand said, this is Robert Kennedy. And he is calling me about this quote. So this was from the Policy for the New American Century. And these guys are our guys. This is like Wolfowitz and Cheney and Kagan and Rumsfeld, the usual Beltway insiders from military intelligence and military planning. And they wrote this policy on how to be the predominant military for the 21st century. And this is what they say, exact quote. This is what he wanted to know where it was. I said, I had to go look it up, but it's on page 64 in the bottom right-hand corner if anybody wants it. So it's advanced forms of biologic warfare that can target specific genotypes, may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool. These are our guys talking about genetic bioweapons as a politically useful tool. Just keep that in mind. Now, how did they do it? This is the end of this. I'm going to tell you how they pulled this off. This was a combination of big money married to big tech. And what they did is they knew about this stuff long before we did. Let me just ask you, what's a virus? What do we think of as a virus? It's a very small bit of genetic material wrapped in a lipoprotein coating that can get into your mucous membranes and make you sick or kill you. What would we call a toxic nanoparticle or a contact genetic poison? We would call it a small amount of genetic material that I design, wrapped in a lipoprotein coating that I design, that gets into your nose or your mucous membranes, makes you sick and kill you. In other words, they're exactly the same. In fact, the one on that side is the virus model, and this on the, this side is the is this RNA vaccine model. So it's exactly the same. The difference is one is man-made. Welcome to the world of synthetic biology. And anybody that thinks, again, that this is conspiracy theory, I found myself reading more military stuff, and there's a journal. You know, people that don't believe that graphene is in this stuff, go look at the MIT, it's called the NIS, the Nanotechnology Institute, something soldier. It's between the Army and MIT. And there's a nanotechnology journal. I mean, they publish all this stuff. We know about this stuff. It's been going on for years. When you hear about it, they've had it for 20 years. You know, there was a Oxford University looked at what they thought the biggest threat for humanity was at some meeting. They asked, they pulled the audience, and a certain percent of them said there'll be 1 million people dead from nanotechnology. That'll be the biggest threat. And then the only dissenting group, which was a bigger group, said it'll be 1 billion. Dead. So we might exceed that, but we don't know. But that's the point. This is all nanotechnology. We're marrying nanotech biology to nanotech, you know, electrical engineering and nanotechnology, you know, carbon chemistry and all that stuff. Now, here's how once they decided what they were going to look at, that they wanted to damage our DNA somehow, now we got to go sample. So I remember this, and this is now those little pieces of data you kind of remember in your brain, but you didn't know what was going on at the time. This is in 2000, the Chinese complained that there were guys from Harvard over there sampling their DNA. And then Russia in 2017, they complained that the Air Force, and they were, we know the names and everything, that we were sampling their DNA, and we particularly wanted pure-blood Russians. We didn't want to have anybody out in the periphery. Okay. And by the way, it was run through the Ukrainian bioweapons lab, so Putin's right on there. But that's what that is. And then China got caught doing sampling the Uyghurs' DNA. In other words, everybody's scavenging everybody's DNA. What's it all about? Well, then China is funded, somebody funded, and they have 50% of the DNA sequencing machines, okay? The world's capacity of fast sequencing machines are in China. Now, this is what they found. They found that there's a flaw, or not a flaw necessarily, but there's a difference between certain populations. And it has to do with the ACE2 pathway. Just out of curiosity, how many people know about the ACE2 pathway? Okay, not very many. How this thing makes you sick is the spike protein was designed in the lab to hook into this ACE2 pathway that is a binding site. And that binding site is all over your body. Now, if coronaviruses actually do exist, as they tell us in nature, they only go into your nose because they don't hook to the ACE2 pathway. That was the design change that was made in the lab once they figured all this out. This is what they went for, and this is why. Because it turns out the ACE2 pathway is racially targetable, just like it said in that bioweapons point by our guys. And this is how it looks, and it gets really kind of ugly. So we're going to talk about the biggest target is us, is Caucasians from Europe. We have a bigger representation, and then it goes way down until you get to this group called the K26R. Now, here's the study. There's three studies I found on this. There's more probably, but this is new insights into genetic susceptibility of COVID-19 and ACE2 and TMPRSS2 polymorphism analysis. A lot of fancy words. The TMPRSS you have to have in your nose to cleave the furin cleavage site, then it can get in, and then it hooks to your ACE2 pathway. One of the reasons that if you have extra weight on you, you're more at risk of having problems is because there's more ACE2 pathways in fat than in muscle. But it's in your heart, and specifically, by the way, it's in your ovaries and your testicles. Now, who's the K26R that are not at the same risk? So, the Caucasians, we have a 54% upregulation, meaning our ACE2 pathway is stickier to the spike protein. And it's 54% stickier. The black population, Africa and America, is 39%. And then it drops way down to Asians and Finnish. I mean, who knew that Finnish weren't like all the other Caucasians in Europe? But I was on a radio show with James Grundvig, and it turns out he's first-generation Norwegian. He said, I know. Really? Okay. Hit me with it. And it turns out that Finnish are actually from the Korean Peninsula initially. They immigrated there. That's why their language is different. They don't quite fit in with the rest of Europe. But so the way down at 10% upregulation are the Asians and the Finnish. But then who is zero? Zero are two groups, the Amish and the Ashkenazim. Now, the Ashkenazim, which we refer to as Ashkenazi Jews, they're not really Jews. They're not Semites. They're Khazarians. They came from a different part of the world near Turkey and Russia. They didn't come from Palestine. And genetically, they're not the same. They actually have this thing in their ACE2 pathway. Who knew? Now, I'm not here to tell you that all Ashkenazi are evil people, and I really don't think the Amish are the people bringing on this technologic nightmare to us, okay? I'm just going to discount them right now. So my neighbor, it turns out, who's a Mormon with six kids that lives next to me, is my good friend that works in my office part-time. She actually is genetically pure Ashkenazi. And then she told me something interesting because I was talking to her on the phone last night. And she said, turns out that none of our kids got sick with COVID. I didn't get sick with COVID. Just Skip, her husband. Right? She's 100% Ashkenazi. And I called, when I heard this, by the way, I also called Dr. Zelenko. I said, do you see this happening? But the problem we have is I have a practice that has no Ashkenazi, and he has a practice that has all Ashkenazi. So we can't see the differences. Okay, but this is apparently happening. So the point is that not all Ashkenazi are bad people, but all the people that decided to make this pathogen seem to be Ashkenazi. Okay, they seem to be K26R genetics. In other words, if I'm an assassin and I'm going to poison people and I want to do it in a big crowd like this, wouldn't it be nice if I were genetically immune to it? That'd be the best way to get away. I'm just saying. So who are they? The CEO or the head of the CDC? We got George Soros. We got Klaus Schwab, Alex's favorite. And it goes on. Bill Gates and Albert Bourla, the head of Pfizer, okay? The head of Moderna, the head of BioNTech. They're all K26R, okay? So, it's a great plan. Now, what do you do? Now you know how to do it. you know that you have a special inborn genetic way to avoid damage, and your children won't be made sterile by this problem, but other people's probably will or can be. Now I got to get lab people involved. So we get like people like Ralph Barrick. This is September 2013. And he got a lot of money from the NIH. Our group will focus on genes that contribute to highly pathogenic coronavirus infections using SARS-CoV-2 and MERS-CoV as a model. And who did he choose as a partner? Dr. Zhi from Jingli Zhi from Wuhan Institute of Virology. And they had the first years ago, this is what David Martin clued us into, that they patented this this genetic sequence years ago. All the parts of the spike protein were patented before 2018. And there was a lot of research to go around. I'm sure that research money that was funded for this went to my University of Iowa, because this is also a patent on mRNA technology, SARS or coronavirus and the ACE2 pathway. And beyond that, I can't follow it. Now, let me tell you what the point is. They also had to do a trial. They, you know, if you're going to do a worldwide war, you got to have, you do, like any military, you do trials. You practice your troops. So here's what they did. In Australia, they had too many mice, and they wanted to figure out how to depopulate the mice in Australia. And apparently that does happen, that they wake up and some farmer, the whole barn's filled with mice one day. So they developed these, what are called self-disseminating vaccines. Okay, and keep in mind the term shedding when we go through this. Now, and they were called immunogenic contraceptives. So they developed these vaccines to shoot up the mice, and if you look at how they were made, technically they were made just like the J&J vaccine. So they gave it to the mice, and they picked out a certain number of mice from nature, and they damaged the mice by giving them this vaccine, and it killed the female ovaries. Okay. Then they let the mice out into the world, and mice are very gregarious, and they rub up against each other. And they, by, through contact, they shed on each other, and then that group of mice got sterilized, right? And then they scurried around to even a bigger group, and then they shed on them, and then they became sterile. And then it kind of petered out in nature. They didn't want to kill all the mice. They just wanted to depopulate it. And they have another paper that actually creepily, if that's a word, shows how if I have this population and I know the birth rate and the death rate and I want to decrease it by this percent, this is how many I need to vaccinate with this stuff. Okay. Now, then you got to have a way to target the ovaries, right? Which they did before they did the mouse study. And this little green thing is made by Novavax, which you're going to hear a lot about because they're claiming to come out with a new vaccine. The Novavax created what's called Matrix M. You got to love their terminology, right? And so that is the lipoprotein targetable outside of the genetic bomb. So you got this, think of this like a bullet. You've got the genetic material on the inside that does the damage, and then the genetic damage. And then you've covered it with this lipoprotein coating that you can design to get picked up however you want. Anybody, and I'm going to name Dr. Malone here, but he's not the only one. Anybody that claims to be an mRNA researcher that said, "Oh, I didn't know it didn't go, it left the arm," they're lying to you. Watch what side they're on, okay? Because they can't not have known that. I mean, this is what it was targeted. It was designed to do, because these things were designed to be actual genetic therapies or oncology therapies, cancer therapies. If you've got a cancer therapy, you don't want to have it dump in the liver when the problem's in the brain, right? It had to be targetable. How could these guys be saying they didn't know? Something not right. Well, anyway, so here we have, then you've got to see if it's actually doing what you think. So they had a study done, and this is how we know the name of these things. They're not vaccines. They're viral-based genetic therapies, or VBGTs. Remember when this whole thing first, the vaccine started to come out and women were complaining that they were around vaccinated people and they started bleeding? Or people got sick around vaccinated people? And a lot of us were talking about shedding and the vaccine companies and the FDA just kind of like silent. They knew about it. Here's the study. It was done in 2015, and they gave this to their researchers and said, you know, these guys are shedding stuff. We don't know what it is. It could be virus. It could be genetic material. It could be some recombinant. We don't know. Nice. You just put this out in the whole world. But this is 2015. They knew there was a problem. And actually, see, they didn't think of it as a problem. I think they were just doing a test to see how many people you shed on. That was their first test of shedding, because that's what they wanted to do. Now, the next study was done in Japan. The Japanese wouldn't take the Pfizer vaccine until they did what's called a pharmacokinetic study, which is where they took out they didn't use the genetic part, but they just ran the Novavax coating, the Matrix M around. They injected that into people, and they tagged it so they could see where it went. And where did it go? It went into the women's ovaries 64 times more than in the skeletal muscle. Now, again, this is a targetable agent. Do you think that's by accident? So, the next thing we had to do, these guys, to make this war work, they had to convince the entire population that vaccines were routine, normal, safe, and effective. How did they do that? Well, they started with your children. These guys play the long game. They started with your children. They convinced you that smallpox and polio were a bad thing and you needed to have them vaccinated, and most people agreed with that. But then they moved on to other things like measles, and the death from measles was under 200 a year when they instituted measles vaccine and claimed they cured measles. And then they kept doing this more and more until they got everybody. Then they went to the adults, and they got you guys taking flu vaccines every year as if it were just, this is something you do. You get your colonoscopy, you get your mammogram, you get your blood work, and you get your vaccines, right? Well, here's just one example of the nonsense of this whole thing. In America, 67% of Americans would stand in line and get their flu vaccine, and we had a flu death that they said, this is WHO data, 0.02%. Well, in Estonia, 5% get their vaccine, and their death rate is 0.02%. You know? But we took all the risk, okay, for no benefit. Now, this is kind of towards the end, and I'm just going to mention. So, people, I get it, how people were fooled. But people really, they ran out and got this out of fear in spite of many voices, some voices at least, of us shouting, hey, there's stuff in here that isn't right. That first slide I showed you from Carrie Made, she was one of the very early people to speak out and say, because she got a hold of some Moderna stuff early. And she looked at it under the microscope, and all she got for her thanks was being told she was a crazy nutcase, and, you know, you can't just look under a microscope and stuff like that. And then there's Dr. Jaruzelski in Poland. I haven't been able to actually find him, but these are pictures, and he had more technology, and he was able to do analysis of these, like those things like Carrie Made was seeing, these squid-like things that are in there, and he said, these are aluminum-based life form. These aren't a carbon-based life form. This is something really alien, okay? And then there were other things. I mean, obviously, we heard about the magnetism, which is true. I tested people. People got magnetic. Not all of them, but some. And then we heard about the nanotechnology, the graphene oxide. And, you know, all these things were going on. Well, what I did was, besides testing for magnetism in my office, I had no other way of doing any kind of research other than going into the basic science research again and looking at the pathway. They hide the medical research right now. They cover it all up. They hide it behind paywalls. They extract the data and then they run off. But they can't hide all the basic steps that they got there. That's the whole mountain of, you know, basic, stuff research. Anyway, and what it shows is that they were looking at, Hydra. Hydra is a parasite. You wonder why they don't like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. The one I like is nitazoxanide. There's all of these, you know, chloroquine, you name them. They're all anti-parasitics. Now we're hearing that other people, not just Carrie, but they vindicated her. They said, we found little pieces of, or little parasites in these jars and possibly Hydra. Okay? So early on, I started looking at Hydra. Why Hydra? It turns out that the naturally occurring Hydra is Hydra vulgaris, but they patented a man-made Hydra. You can't patent nature, so this is a man-made designed Hydra. It's called Hydra Linnaeus. And it has been used, to do neurologic research. They wanted to connect, like if you have a damaged nerve somewhere, or a spinal cord injury, or you've got Parkinson's, they claim that they can put this Hydra in through an injection, and you will get the benefit, it will bind to your nervous system without it being rejected. Okay? And then they can interact with your nervous system through this technology somehow. This is, there's another name for this war, and this is the war on your brain, because the brain is the new battlefield. And I'm blanking on his name right now, but I'll think of it. He's really big in this, and he always gives the lectures on the brain and how our big thing is and the Chinese in that book said, their number one weapon that they're looking at is weaponization of the brain. Okay? They want to connect you to the Borg. Now, that's where we get these. What we also know is there is this graphene oxide. What's it doing there, and what is all this stuff doing? Well, this hydrogel, this graphene oxide, we can see in petri dishes, it can self-organize into networks. I don't have anybody I've tested this on to see if you hook up to Bluetooth, but there are enough people coming out and telling you that I believe it's probably true. But I don't think I have this slide, but I do have this slide, and I got this from Dr. Zelenko, and again, I believe it's true because the fact checker said, false, 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 and came after him. But he gave me this patent number, and what it is for a plurality of it's an electronic device that you will carry around, and the fact checkers say that means it's a cell phone. No, it isn't. If I had a pacemaker, I'd carry it around internally, okay? And it's a device that will be in you that will produce, it will produce an ID. So, I will beam my ID to the people here and close. If you're back there, you're going to beam your ID to a bigger group. They're going to beam their IDs to you. It's a proximity device, so mine only goes so far. And then after I walk by a server somewhere, it will upload that data to the great mothership, wherever it is, and it will come back to my cell phone and tell me, oh, you've been in church. Wait a minute. Go right to the FEMA camp. Or if you've been around 100 too many people, you have to come get your new booster. That is patented. You can look it up yourself. I have the number if anybody wants it. So that's all the stuff that's going in there. And in spite of us talking about all this stuff, people really didn't do due diligence. Like this was, they would do more due diligence on a new car line before they bought it, I think. But that's why. Now the other final thing is they tell us to follow the science. Literally, you heard about the Pfizer study, okay? All these studies that the Pfizer submitted to the EUA, or for the EUA from the FDA, they went to the government, and I want you to think about this. They didn't just go themselves to the law and try and block the release of their stuff for 75 years. They took the FDA with them. So the government is involved with them more than it cares about us. The FDA doesn't care about your safety. So the FDA and Pfizer went to the government and the legal courts and tried to block the release of data for 75 years. And then they tell us to follow the science. Are you kidding me? So then, when they lost that and they had to release some, they've started releasing some. And this is an example of what they released. I saw that and I said, what the heck am I looking at? I sent it to my friend who's also AFLDS researcher. And I said, am I looking at a redacted graph? Those big bars, you know, if you ever see stuff that like the CIA documents and they release the FOIA request, they'll release them, but they redact some names and things. This is the same thing. But this is supposed to be the science on which they based sending this out to the world. Isn't that unbelievable? Now, why does all this really matter? Okay, because you can say, well, this genetic thing I don't have to worry about because they're not going to force me to have a vaccine. I'm not going to take it. Okay, got news for you. The next step, and this is the final blow they're going to do, I think, they're going to put it in food. And there's a guy named Daniel Garza in Mexico who's a chief investigator here, and they've got 97 vaccines already GMO into food. And they're going to put the spike protein in tomatoes was their plan. And this is not, again, it has to do with bioinformatics and computational genetic engineering, meaning somebody can sit at their desk now with a computer and rearrange DNA to put into you. We can create, literally, I'm not saying it's real life, but they are creating life in the lab now all the time. Craig Venter made a cell that would reproduce, and he did it from scratch. He made the DNA, he made the cell wall, he put it together, it reproduced. And my final here is, I was at a meeting in South Dakota, and I had seen this thing on this side, my left. This thing here, that big circle that kind of looks like it's a pin, and it's a lapel pin, and it's the new globalist lapel pin. And I remember seeing that on like the Atlantic, magazine online or something. I don't know why it popped up on my screen, but I thought, oh yeah. And they were bragging about, oh look, isn't at Davos? Aren't the new globalist pins cute? And they had the usual suspects, Alex Newman's crew, the George Soros and Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates, all those guys wearing these pins on their lapel. And it was one of those data points I put back here and forgot about. Until about 6 months later, I listened to Andrew Kaufman give a talk in South Dakota, and he showed how when they do gene sequencing, we can sequence things. They print out a long linear printout of multiple different colors, but it's so small that you can't put words on those to tell what amino acid they are. So you have a decoder ring, and that's the genetic decoder ring over there. Do you know now where they got the globalist pin? This is the fight of humanity, is our DNA. And why do they care? Because I'm not God, and I'm not pretending to know how God really did it, but from a physician scientist standpoint, it appears that we are these holographic kind of electrical beings that are created because of the marriage of water and DNA. And that's what I heard Thomas Cowan say. That is how God talks to us. Is how he interacts with our bodies is through that system somehow. So if you want to talk about the ultimate satanic takedown, it's changing your DNA. That is what this is all about. They don't want humans that have any kind of divine spark. So thank you very much. That's the end.